position number 12808, reel 1.
Colonel Child, reel 1. Could you tell me when and how you came to be in the army, please?
Well, it was after Munich in 1938. Some of us at Roots in Coventry decided to join the Territorials.
In what capacity were you working at Roots?
As a production engineer.
So you joined the army out of patriotic reasons?
I hope so, because I was actually reserved and they tried to keep me at the works.
What was your attitude towards the regime in Germany?
My attitude was that I wanted to get rid of them as soon as possible and do anything I could to help that.
Was it easy to get in to the army?
Yes, very easy. It was at the local barracks, and we just went up there and signed on as territorials.
What kind of things did you do in the TA before war broke out?
We did drills in the evenings and exercises in the summer and a camp. Otherwise, that was about all.
And what rank did you hold then?
I was a sapper, and at the beginning of the war, when war started, I became a lance bombardier because the sappers became gunners in searchlights.
How useful, if at all, was the training that you had with the TA before the war in view of what you had to do later in wartime?
It was quite useful, but I suppose it was only basic, really, and not much more than the school OTC that I was in.
What was your reaction when the news came that we were at war with Germany?
We were on a searchlight site guarding Coventry a week before war started, so we were all ready. And we thought, this, all right, we'll get on with it now.
Were you dismayed in any way?
No, not really. We were expecting it.
So you were in the defence of Coventry?
Yes, and Birmingham.
Were you defending those cities when the Blitz arrived?
That would be the one in 1940. No, I had gone by that time.
So you weren't actually firing your guns during the time you were with the searchlights?
No, I wasn't on guns. I was actually in a searchlight detachment. I was commanding a searchlight detachment.
But the guns which you were with
They were elsewhere. We didn't see where they were.
Where did you go to? You said that you missed the Blitz in Coventry and Birmingham. Where did you go to?
Because in December we were asked whether we would take commissions and go to an OCTU. And we did, three of us went to an infantry OCTU at Bulford in December.
How did you come to be in the Army Ordnance Corps?
Well, after a year and a bit as a Lancashire Fusilier, where I was motor transport officer, there was an ACI came out asking for engineers to join the ROC if there were any about, and there was an appeal.
What's an ACI? What is an ACI?
Oh, an Army Council instruction. And they came out, and I was asked whether I would do that, and I did transfer under that ACI to the ordnance from the infantry. Because I was in a depot at Bury in Lancashire, and I, I was stuck there. I couldn't get to a battalion because I was the motor transport officer and they wouldn't let me go.
And this was in Hertfordshire that you were posted to an RAOC workshop?
In Buntingford. I can't remember the number of the workshop, but I was there for only a month. And I was sent on a gun course.
What did that involve?
That was 4 months course, starting at Stoke-on-Trent, going on to Bury in Lancashire, and then finally at Leicester.
What were you learning?
Guns, or maintenance of guns.
Can you give me some specific examples of what type of things you had to learn?
Well, we had a lot of metallurgy in our first 2 months. In the second stage at Bury, in the third month, we did instruments and optics. And the final month was regimental, including drill and administration.
How did you come to go to North Africa?
At the end of the gun course, I was posted to the 44th Home Counties Division, Canterbury, as the OME attached to headquarters RA.
OME?
OME.
What's that?
Well, Ordnance Mechanical Engineer. And as a captain. And I had to look after all the guns and their equipment and all vehicles belonging to the Royal Artillery in the division.
What were the main problems there in doing that?
The main problems were inspecting the guns and keeping records of wear and the number of rounds fired, keeping the vehicles and transport generally up to scratch. And I was in charge of the light aid detachments, which were ordnance, attached to each of the regiments. And they were in charge of warrant officers, and I was responsible for liaising between them and the regiments, the regimental commanders, and also with workshops.
Was 44 Div a very good one?
It was the Home Counties Division, territorial division, and it had been under Monty's charge, actually, and it was in, what was the corps? I can't remember the name of the corps, but anyway, we were a territorial division, so we were there were very few regulars. Mostly the regulars were in charge of the units and workshops and that sort of thing. But in the main, it was made up of territorials.
But what was
home counties.
What was the quality of the division, do you think?
Well, I think it was a very good division, but untried, so to speak. I can't remember whether it was in the BEF, but I certainly I only joined them at the end of December 41, and we were preparing for overseas almost from the time I joined them.
What did those preparations involve?
Well, it was. And the training was all round, and I had to go down to Salisbury Plain with the guns on exercise there, and they were trying them out. You know, they were shooting programs, and I had to go down and keep an eye on the mechanical side. That was in January 42.
When actually did you make the voyage to the Middle East?
From May. We sailed on May the 27th, and we arrived 2 months later, July the 27th, I think it was, in Cairo, or Tufik, Cairo's port.
Did you meet the enemy on the voyage out?
No, it was completely quiet. Although afterwards one thought that was about the height of the submarine war in the Atlantic, but we didn't see any, we had no trouble with our convoy.
Did you stop in South Africa?
Yes, we stopped at Freetown in West Africa and then stopped in Cape Town, and we got ashore there for a couple of days, but we were on our way again within 3 days.
Did you get much of a welcome there?
Tremendous welcome. Almost overwhelming.
What did it consist of?
Well, they all wanted to entertain us. In fact, the entertainments were quite splendid in the evenings. But we had to get aboard again, and of course it was limited as we were on our way.
So you arrived in the Suez Canal, must have been July, was it?
July, yes.
What did you find when you got there?
Well, we went by train from Tufik. We went by train to Katapa, which was a camp on the Cairo-Alexandra Road, right out in the desert. And there wasn't a tree in sight, as far as I remember. It was just sand. And it was very hot. July, at the end of July, was about the hottest time of the year. And we had to get acclimatized as quickly as we could.
What was the atmosphere at the time amongst the British Army in Egypt? Was it one of panic or depression?
Oh, no. We were all very, very, shall I say, excited. I think that was probably the most... And it was a new environment. None of us had seen the Middle East before, and it was completely different. And there was a general atmosphere of anticipation of something happening ahead, but we were all ready for it. We didn't think about anything else, really. I think it was just that we got on with our work. I was getting the guns back to shipshape because we had to clean them all down after the sea voyage. They were all packed in grease, and we had to recalibrate them all. One gun was dropped from the quayside by the Egyptian crane, and that didn't do it any good, but we got it back into action. We were just about ready, and suddenly we were called up to the front. We weren't really ready to go up, but Monty wanted a division to take over in the middle of the defensive position before the Anime 9.
Whereabouts did you move up to?
To Alam Halfa Ridge.
Can you describe the terrain in that area?
It was fairly flat, but a ridge was just a bit of ground rather higher than the rest, but you wouldn't call it a hill. But we were on this ridge, and all round was either very small scrub or sand. as far as you could see.
Did you have any inkling as to what was going to be the role of the division at that time?
All we knew was that we were going to be in defense against a possible enemy attack. Well, the enemy had been advancing and was stopped at Alamein, and then they had been reforming, and we knew that we were in for a defensive battle. But other than that, we just got on with whatever we were doing, and we waited.
What were your own personal problems in the job that you had to do then at Alam Halfa?
Well, my greatest problem was that I'd been sent out on a motorcycle. And I had to carry my gun inspection equipment, which was the measuring rods and everything, on this motorbike. And it was very difficult to drive the motorbike from one regiment to another, from one battery position. And after a very few days, I was given a truck by the staff captain so I could carry my equipment around with me, and it was much easier.
Was the equipment bulky?
No, not really bulky, but long rods. They were the measuring, they were the main equipment that I had, was the what was known as a gun measuring, a bore measuring gauge, which I used to measure the bore of the gun.
What was the purpose of that?
It was so to measure the wear, and it was very important. I had to keep a record of all the guns, and I had to go around all the guns and measure them in the pits.
What if a gun was too worn?
You would have to get another barrel. And they used to fit, they used to get the gun back and take the old barrel out and put a new one in. There were sleeves. It was important because of accuracy. When it wore too much, you couldn't get an accurate shoot. And there was a limit, which as you got near the limit, you started ordering up another barrel for them.
What were the problems with the local conditions, such as climate and so on, with regard to the wear and tear and maintenance of the guns?
Well, it was very difficult with the dust. And when they were in their firing position, when they fired, they always blew up an enormous cloud of dust. And this used to settle on all the working parts. And because the working parts were greased or oiled, it had to have gaiters or jackets over them to try and keep it out. But it was almost impossible to keep the dust out. So you got quite a lot of wear.
What kind of guns did you have at Alam Halfa?
We had the 5.5s, so 5.5 inch and 4.5 inch with one regiment, and that's the mediums, and we had three regiments of 25 pounders, field regiments, and I had a regiment of light AK-AK, which were Bofors, 40 millimeter, and an anti-tank regiment with 6 pounder anti-tank guns.
Which guns caused you the most problems?
Well, the medium guns.
Why was that?
Later on, I got a lot more problems with them. But at that time, I suppose no more problems than with the other guns. But later on, I can tell you that I did have a lot of problems with the medium guns.
We'll come to that later.
Yes.
What about living conditions in the desert? How did you cope with those?
Well, it was a matter of getting on with it and not complaining at all. It was the flies were the worst thing of all, and I suppose the dust was the next most trying, and the lack of water really too. There was a general shortage of water, of course, but it got worse later as we got further away from base. But the flies were the worst problem. I think everybody would agree on that.
Was there anything you could do about it?
Very difficult. No, you had fly swats and that sort of thing, but you just had to live with them.
So, coming back to the operations, you were waiting there for the German attack.
Yes.
What happened to you personally when it came?
I was with headquarters when the news came through that the Germans had attacked. But I was still visiting units. One of my regiments had got detached from us and was on the Alamein front with the New Zealand division. So I only had two field regiments at the beginning of the battles. Once the battle started, I couldn't get to them. They were 10 miles away in the plain between the R Ridge and the Mitteraya Ridge, I think it was. I remember travelling along to one of the brigades, regiments, and I actually saw the German army streaming across. You could see them in the distance. And it was quite an exciting moment, I suppose, really. And one wondered what was going to happen.
How confident did people feel at the time?
We were all very confident, yes. We never thought of losing somehow. Never thought of at that time. I don't think it really crossed our minds. We were a bit apprehensive because Monty had told us that we were to stay there. I remember his message was that he said, if you cannot stay there alive, you will stay there dead. That was his message to us, and he took all the transport away. But I suppose I was rather lucky because I did have a van. But I remember we just went on with it, and the guns were very busy. In fact, the guns fired an enormous amount onto the German lines, and I was kept quite busy. I hadn't time really to think about anything very much other than the work.
How did the guns stand up to the punishment?
No, they stood up pretty well. Although one of the troubles we had was if they fired at too fast a rate, the barrels used to get red, used to get hot, and they'd almost get red hot in the breech chamber, and you could get very hot conditions in the recoil and run-out systems. I can explain that, but it's the recoil and run-out are on hydraulics and air, and they have to have grand packings. And these packings used to get very hot, and sometimes they used to fry, literally, rather like fried mushrooms. They came out sometimes, and you would get a banging from the recoil when the packings had gone, and we used to get a lot of recoil far too fast, and they had to have the packings changed, and this involved taking the gun out of action, which was unfortunate. You could try and get them done as quickly as possible, and we used to try and get them done in the pits without actually taking them out.
Did you have any captured German guns?
No. I never saw any.
During the battle, did you have any personal moments of danger?
I don't suppose. Well, only from shelling and Stukas. Stuka raids were one of the things which we disliked most. They always seemed to be coming at you, but I was lucky enough not to be in the middle. Oh, yes, there was one. Our headquarters was the center of a bombing attack, and I actually saw, I was just going into the headquarters when we saw these bombers coming round and some fighters, and we thought they were our own. They were coming from the direction from the east, and then they started diving, and I saw the bombs actually leaving the first bombers, and I went into the headquarters, and we got down, and we were in the middle of the target. And afterwards, when we came out, when it had all gone over, there were craters literally all round our dugout. But that was not a very nice moment. In fact, I was I was very frightened at the time. But there were only two casualties, I think, or I think there were one or two killed, but we were lucky.
Who were you working under? Who was in charge of your particular work?
It was a mix. I actually under the ADOS, and that's the you know what I mean by ADOS.
Tommy,
of the division. He was the divisional ordnance chief, and his deputy was the engineering side. He had a deputy on each side, the stores side and the engineering side, and the DADOS was in charge of the. He had an E after his after his name, and I dealt with him from the REME point of view. From the ordnance point of view, it wasn't REME then. And I also was actually under command of the Brigadier RA. I was living with the gunner headquarters.
What were they like to work for?
Oh, very good. They were extremely helpful. I had a marvelous staff captain with me who was they were all regulars, all the gunners of that, although it was a territorial division. I think one of them was, the intelligence officer was a territorial. The staff captain and the second in command and the brigadier were all regulars. But they were very good to work for.
Were they satisfied with your work?
Well, I believe so. Well, I understand that they did, but I don't know. I mean, we got on very well.
Were you satisfied with the work of the men under you?
Very well. I thought they were superb, yes.
In what way?
Well, they were marvellous engineers. The warrant officers and the LADs worked like Trojans. They were all territorials. In fact, one of them, very good WO, was in charge of one of the LADs, was a garage proprietor in Glasgow. And I found it difficult to understand what he said sometimes, but I had been apprenticed on the Clyde, so I could get on very well with him. And he was a very good engineer, although he was so scruffy that the CO, to start with, wouldn't let him anywhere near his lines. But later on, he thought the world of him.
You mean he was covered in oil?
Yes. And you could hardly understand what he said, but he was a first-class mechanic. He kept all our transport going more than any other regiment.
But I suppose he was supposed to be covered in oil, wasn't he?
Well, the COs didn't really like them covered with oil. They hadn't really come round to... and us also, of course, they hadn't been so long since they had horses. When I first started with them, they used to refer to maintenance periods as stables. But the light aid detachments were marvellous units. I couldn't speak highly enough of them. And they learnt very quickly in the conditions.
What was the outcome of the Alam Halfa battle as far as you could
see? Well, the Germans retreated after about 5-6 days, and they went back behind the Alamein line back to their original positions. And our division, went forward and took over the box, which was right on the Alamein line from the New Zealand division. They went back for a rest and recoup, and we took over their positions.
Did Montgomery come round and visit you personally? Did you meet him?
I didn't then, but I was probably busy with the guns somewhere. You see, whenever he came to headquarters, I was probably out.